Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's good, people, and welcome to the Everyday Hustle. The show that explores the five most important days that have changed the lives of the world's best young creators, entrepreneurs, and inventors. With new guests on the show each week, they'll be telling us their incredible stories and their everyday hustle. If you're on a journey, need some inspiration, or just want to hear from some of the best young minds around, then subscribe wherever you are listening to this. Follow us on our socials at Everyday Hustle Show on Instagram and ED Hustle Show on Twitter. This is the Everyday Hustle. Joining us today for the last episode this year is a pair of East London pals who lighten up a room whenever they walk in.
All right.
Calm down, girls. These girls are changing up the dining experience by providing fresh, interactive, mouth-watering feasts with a hint of comedy and a whole lot of sass. They're a perfect example of some badass females paving the way. Welcome the incredible Maria and Rihanna from Mamsham. How you guys doing?
What a bloody intro.
Everybody has said that throughout the series.
Did you write that?
No, I had to write it.
That's cool. No, I just thought maybe you were going to gas us up because you believed in us, but turns out you do it for everyone.
I do believe you. Whoa. I do believe in you guys. How are you doing?
That was lovely.
That was so nice.
Thank you.
We feel great now.
This is great.
I feel bad I didn't prepare anything for you.
We really like you.
It's fine. I'll hold that
you're
against
nice.
You. Okay, so for the listeners of the Everyday Hustle listening in a nutshell, what is it exactly that you do?
So basically, yeah, we're like a food and comedy female duo who indulge ourselves and others in good grub and lols. So half of what we do is events. So we do these like big shubs to like private hire, whatever, where it's like three courses inspired by three comedy acts, and we like bring together some amazing comedians and obviously some amazing chefs to produce, yeah.
Yeah, big old fun events. I think that we just like, our thing is that we wanted it to be something that anyone could come to. So we always keep our prices for our ticketed events quite like reasonable.
Yeah.
Because we always promote diversity in the people that we work with. So different comedians, different chefs. Yeah. We work with loads of women and all that kind of stuff.
We have a strong female focus.
Yeah, strong female focus. And yeah, we want our audiences to be as diverse as the people that we're promoting. So
yeah, amazing. So you guys were actually, like, you were featured in Elle magazine.
Yeah.
That was really
I've actually got a quote of how it's described right here. So it says, think themed hearty foods, free-flowing booze, performances that range from stand-up comedy to drag, all couched in a relaxed but raucous supper club vibe.
Yeah. That is really,
basically, a crazy, hilarious night out, right?
Yeah. We want people to have more fun eating, drinking, laughing than they've had in like a really long time. And like, obviously there are so, you know, you can go out for dinner, we're in London, there's so much stuff going on, you can watch some comedy, that's great, cool. We really marry those two together, and our dishes are all like intriguing, amusing, but obviously above all delicious. So yeah, we kind of shy away from the word immersive just because
we don't want to be like everyone else.
No.
And then, but actually we're not like anyone else. That's the thing. I think we're doing something really like really different, because you don't have to know anything when you come to our events. You know, there's loads of immersive events where you have to kind of like, you know, you have to know about a particular film, you have to know like the history of a certain TV show, or like you can just come to our events, people come by themselves
and
just have really good fun. And we always have like long kind of sharing feasting style tables and chairs and everything, so everyone's just like mucked in together. There's lots of audience participation. We've had we had like 100 people stood up singing Find My Clit for Christmas with, alongside a dance routine,
so
that was kind of special. Yeah, so it's always just like, I don't know, you just got to come and just not care.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And like, we have such an emphasis on like creative integrity as well, like you know, everything that we produce is of high quality. As much as we want it to be like this silly thing that, you know, people come to enjoy and laugh and eat and get pissed, like, we have got an extremely, like, we're both like perfectionists, aren't we?
Yeah, totally, totally. Oh,
pleasure. Well, I never would have got that vibe, you know, like, because I mean, like, maybe.
Wow, you did try and make
me eat a cricket the other day, by the way.
Yeah, you didn't.
No, I fully didn't. Of course not.
Oh, God. I was chowing down.
Back to that one. It's not like a booster control or anything like that.
You know what you're getting for Christmas.
We also gave you caviar, though.
So the people that come on this show, they often talk about what the word hustle actually means to them. So what does that mean to you girls?
I think doing what it takes to do the thing that you want to do. So
there's a lot of do's.
Well, that really is it. You just gotta make those choices and just do it. Like, you can't, I mean, like, you can sit on your ass dreaming about things and that might be satisfying enough, but for us it's like, if we have any idea, we just do it. We just go for it.
Yeah, I think once you're like in the hustle as well, it's so wicked because you're around so many people who are hustling. And like, my, like, I think both of our favorite things about Mamsham is like the amazing people that we've been able to collaborate with, including yourself. Like, you know, you just meet all these like wicked people, and like, you know, the more that you meet, the more you branch out, and they'll be like, oh, this is this person, and she's just them. Then the next thing you know, you're doing a big old feast for 500 people, and it's great. Hi, we're Mamsham.
I'm Maria.
And I'm Rhiannon.
And this is our everyday hustle.
Day one for us was that glorious day back in September 2002.
I remember it so well.
11 years old and our eyes met across the room and the rest is history, really.
So this is when you two first met?
Yeah, first day of secondary school.
Okay, and what was you like growing up?
kind of... Well, a bit strange.
We were both a bit weird, but Rhiannon was cool weird, whereas I was just like a bit, I was very awkward. And basically, so I'm like 5'8" and I grew to this height when I was like 10. And Rhiannon, she weighed like what, 3 stone?
I weighed 3.5 stone when I started secondary school. Like, that's how small I was.
She was literally probably
like, when I was 2, my parents took me to the doctor because they were worried that I had like, you know, some kind of condition. But I'm just really fucking short.
So she was up to my hip.
Genuinely.
So she was hip height and I was like really lanky and so I had a mullet and braces. And yeah, Rhiannon and I like, our eyes went across the room and she chatted to me and made me feel lovely. And then I realised that we were both as weird and wonderful as each other, and the rest is history.
All the truths coming out here. Yeah. Okay, so where in all of this, obviously you just came up with like your best friendship, but did you ever think that one day you'd be working together?
I think we probably did from really early on, because we always just pursued creative projects together. Like, we had 1,000 sleepovers, as you can imagine, up till 4 in the morning, like making movies and stuff. So
my dad had like an old camcorder. We used to like, oh my god, they were so bad. I actually found them recently, and
they're brilliant.
They're really horrible because Rhiannon's so young and looks so cute, whereas I just look a bit perverse and creepy. Like, but we did stuff like we reimagined like Pop Idol, we made it Pap Idol, and we like thought it was hilarious. I mean,
so we'd be like Simon Cowell and whatever, but then we'd also be the people doing the audition.
we were everyone,
yeah. And like, it was amazing because we had like no editing software at all, so we just used to have to rewind at exactly the right point then start the next scene. So there was no retakes, like we got what
there
we got.
There was one chance.
One chance.
I mean, we did some mad.
So we were just like always doing like ridiculous things together, and we had like a really weird obsession with like very niche films, like Rocky Horror Show, Battle Royale, like Freddy Got Fingered. It was just like,
Beckwith's man, best you get.
So yeah, we were both quite like weird teenagers, not your typical.
I think I remember us performing like the entirety of the Rocky Horror Picture Show in year 7 on a school trip.
I thought you were about to say your living room.
To our entire year. Just because I think the coach was late, so we were like, well, we've got to take this into our own hands and we will just perform.
No one asked us to.
That's your call up.
It was
great. Yeah, so we've just like pumped each other up from such young age, mm-hmm. being like, oh my god, you should do this, you should do this. Like, we both know when, like, you know that thing where, like, you'll both be looking at something and you're like, you want to do that,
yeah.
And then, yeah, so we've just, like, continued to do that. And then finally, when we got to the right bold ages that we are, we were like, right, let's actually pursue this.
Yeah, that's wicked. Do you think that the relationship you have has been a big sort of impact on the success that you've had?
100%.
Yeah, for sure.
100%. Yeah. Like, we put so much of ourselves mm-hmm. into Mamsham. And, like, when we started, when it was just the events, we kind of... We didn't know that, like, people would, like, be interested in us as a duo, but I guess it kind of makes sense because, yeah, we love food, we love comedy. We
I think it's,
are
like, infectious,
novels.
Like, how you two are. Like, it makes everybody Stop get a little it. Bit like, oh, where's my best friend?
Aww. Well, yeah, it's mad, like, lucky. Sometimes we watch things with which have best friends in, and, like, we always call each other up when we're just like, we love each other so much. Like, we watch, like,
You're
Broad City,
the
and
we're
love just like,
real.
Oh, my God, like, these Broad girls, City. Like, there's not, like, we feel really lucky to have that kind of relationship.
Definitely.
Because we don't know that many people that do have a best friend that they'll spend, like, you know, like, we work together. And that it hasn't changed our friendship at all.
No.
And I think that's quite rare because we've like, we know people that have been really good friends, they've worked together, and then like it, their whole life has become about work. Whereas we're still, I mean, I wish we could remake Pap Idol, but like,
it may return.
It may return.
It may return.
This space.
Yeah. So, aside from your work that you still do now, do you still try and keep creative as possible?
We have different projects.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. I like, so I, because we always have a host, obviously, and I'm, and that's always me. and then I kind of realised that my life is just a string of very funny situations. And then I started telling people them, and then, so I basically started doing a little bit of comedy. So that's
She's
me.
She's so good.
Stop it.
She's so good.
I'm not even, it's literally just like, I have these funny things happen to me.
Her
it's just life.
It's literally just my life. And people are like, when did you write that? I'm like, I didn't write it.
Just telling you about last night.
And then Rhiannon.
I don't know about creative, but I set up recently something called Dead Parent Club. Which sounds a bit mad.
Tyler's face.
But Tyler's face right now. But basically it's meant to be a community driven project to bring people together who have lost a parent young.
Amazing.
So that we can all hang out and kind of like tell stories and relate to each other. And it's very different talking to someone who's been through that to someone that hasn't. And we had like our first one this week actually.
Oh, amazing.
And it was amazing. Yeah. Like, it was so brilliant. And like, yeah, like everyone really, like, I don't know, the atmosphere was really good. Like, it wasn't, everyone was a bit, like, I was a bit worried that there was going to just be like tears everywhere. But everyone was really excited to see each
other. That's great.
Yeah.
And there were a few tears, which is absolutely cool. And I think it's just, creating a space that you can do whatever you want in and nobody's going to judge you or feel awkward.
So you touched upon it there. I mean, like, growing up, without a doubt, everybody in life goes through difficult situations, some traumatic, some just really difficult declines. How do you girls overcome adversity?
I think that, like, obviously we're all growing up in quite a challenging time and like mental health is something that, you know, you talk to anyone and, you know, I would be surprised to meet someone who didn't, you know, at one point in their life feel shit. Like, and I definitely felt shit for a very long time. And I think that was because I didn't, you know, it's all changed for me since Mamsham. And I feel so grateful literally every day to be doing something that I love, because especially when you used to not feel so good, when you can look back.
And makes you appreciate it even more.
It's just nuts. And it's just like so much of my happiness is, you know, because of Mamsham, because of Rhiannon, and but also like from myself, like I worked hard for that, and like it basically, I think we need to stop saying, oh, like how do you stop feeling shit, and more like just sit with the way that you feel and let it pass, because it will.
And I think that like we're obviously really supportive of each other, and like we chat about stuff all the time, so like we're, you know, if anything's getting to us, and like I'm not always amazing with my emotions, but as soon as I see Maria, like the floodgates open and like I can have that cry. And it's just having that kind of like,
it's a great time because she never hugs me. When she cries, I'm like,
see the needy one is.
I literally like come to mama.
She's like at last. But yeah, I guess like having a support system is amazing. And actually like my family's all amazing, my boyfriend's amazing, like, but it is surrounding you with those people that, you know, you can have those conversations with, and they're not gonna they're not gonna shy away from it, or I don't know, just great people.
day two was our first major private hire, which was for ASOS. That completely changed the game for us because it was a press party. And so it was like, you know, we were basically catering for a room of like, you know, people who are at Elle magazine, Vogue,
everything. It was kind of like... Yeah. The perfect platform.
Was it like a pinch yourself moment when you found out?
Yeah, completely. Because it was, so I was at the pub with my friends. I was at the pub with my mate, and her boyfriend's friend worked for Notion magazine.
Yeah.
And I basically was like, you know, I was just like, fuck it. Like, went up and I was chatting to her and I was like, I've got this event next week. Like, gave her my card. I was like, I'll sort you out with 2 tickets. Like, I'd love it if you can come down and review, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And she did. And then ASOS read about us in Notion because the woman, I think she had a partnership with them or something.
Wow.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
And then, yeah, called, like, emailed us being like, I've just heard about your event. It sounds incredible. Da, 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 da. It's just like, you need to put yourself out there because you have no idea.
We've done a lot of like screaming in bathrooms as well, like acting really cool in the meetings. We had just these amazing brands come forward, and then we'd be in the meeting like, yeah, you know, like it's just this thing, whatever. And then like we go into the bathroom and be like, oh my god,
we had to look like really cool.
Yeah, we're like what are we gonna wear? Like, we want to be like dressed well, but like, we don't want to try too hard. Like,
that's amazing.
Yeah. So we still get absolutely pumped. So when like anything like that happens, like it's just
wicked. Because I think it's quite a personal journey to you, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you've grown so much what you've got now.
I know. So
it feels like they're kind of saying yes to like us, I guess, because it's something that, you know, we didn't start like a pen company because we want to make money. Like, we didn't even think about this as a money-making project when we first started. Like, that was the thing. Private hire kind of came to us. We didn't go out and seek it. I know, we're really dumb. We're like, yeah, we'll just do ticketed events. And, like, that's cool. Like, we'll just... No, like, that's not how you make money.
Yeah, but it's wicked that, like, people are... Like, having people trust us. Like, we did someone's wedding few months ago, which was amazing. And like, I was like... Obviously, we knew it was going to be amazing, but I was, like, pinching myself being like, oh, my God, I can't believe she trusts us. But that was amazing. She was...
Well,
yeah, she was wicked. And she, like... She basically was like, I trust what you guys want to do, like, do whatever you want, you know, because she wanted entertainment too. And we had, like, this amazing drag act, Baby Lame, come through to pretend to be the bride that should have been, could have been even, sorry. And she was, like, walking down the aisle to Here Comes the Bride. This is, like, during dinner. And he was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, da-da-da-da-da. So, yeah, it was wicked.
Oh, incredible. So how important would you say it is? I mean, you mentioned it there about starting a pen company because of money and whatnot. But how important is it to, like, actually just pursue your passion and trust the process?
I think that's just what we've been doing.
Yeah. I mean, we're really lucky because we're both from London. So a worst case scenario for us is that we move home with our parents.
Right? Yeah.
So there is definitely like...
We've got a safety net.
Which is such a privilege. Like, we're so lucky for that. But I think you have to believe in something for it to be successful.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to follow that, you know, money isn't going to follow either.
Mm-hmm. I think like everything's just happened really organically for us, which has been really lucky. But I say lucky, like we put so much work in.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I think because we're having so much fun doing it, we're like, it is lucky, but it's not, like, we work hard.
Yeah, we work really hard. And like, and I think what's been great is that like we put ourselves out there quite a lot, but like people have been returning that favor kind of thing. So like, you know, we'll go to those parties like when we're absolutely knackered and we'll just like schmooze the room and do whatever. But as in like, I don't know, like we just like,
so we're always put, like, quite
like it's really important. And like, I think we're always switched on, which like, you know, isn't always good, but actually because it's something that's so fun and something that like is just us.
I'm happy.
That's
why
fine.
Not?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why not just open up and just talk to people and you never know who you're going to meet.
It's very true. Very true.
Day three for us would be our big charity event for Refugee Women's Centre that we did at Oval Space earlier this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was that about?
So it was a 200-person dinner with an after party afterwards, and basically we had a strictly female lineup, which in food and comedy is just like, it's just like so male dominated, and it's just lazy managers and like producers.
Yeah.
Like, it's not hard to get a room of funny women.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
Or to find a load of female chefs.
No. it's not hard.
Yeah, like we worked with some absolutely amazing people on this project, like MasterChef finalists from 2017.
Three Girls Cook.
Yeah. So they run their own supper club. And like we messaged a few people, but they got back straight away and were just like, yes, like we were actually about to reach out and see if anyone wanted to do something with us.
Yeah.
I don't know, that just worked really well. And then all the comedy acts were just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it was so good. And then we had like an after party with Jam Supernova, TaylorMade, Born and Bred. And it was just wicked because all, you know, obviously everyone was doing it free of charge because it was for charity, but it was not just that, but also the people were just like, yeah, sick, this needs to happen. We need to have so many like women coming together and collaborating. Like we've been taught for so long that other women are our competition, and it's just not true.
It's collaboration over competition
every day. Yeah, and we're really proud about the fact that we have such a strong female focus, and like you know,
I mean, what I meant when I said like paving the way, because that is, you are being like prime examples of what should.
It's nice that we have a platform to do it on, definitely, but like we said, it's not hard to do. That's the thing, like when we go to comedy nights where it's like straight white man, maybe one white girl, it's just like that's just lazy.
It's frustrating,
and it's just like they're the ones missing out because your lineup could be better, because different people like different things as well. Like, you know, for example, if we have one drag act, one character comedy duo and one stand-up, there's going to be people who are like, oh yeah, I'm much more into that than I am into that. Like, why not diversify?
Yeah, it's a little reassurance there. Whoa.
Like, just stop working. Why not diversify it?
Yeah, definitely. I just think that, like Maria said, there's so many talented people out there. It's like, it's very frustrating. And like, we've started confronting promoters when we go to events, because like, there's a lot of comedy nights in London where you don't know who you're going to get until you go there. And it will just be like, cool, straight white man. Maybe the next one. No, straight white man. Oh, maybe the next one. Yeah. And then it's literally like five men down. And you're just like, for God's sake, this is just like, it's actually quite boring.
Yeah.
And like, you know, variety is the spice of life, guys. Like, spice it up.
Live a little, honey.
Would you return with that charity event that people can come and watch?
Yeah. So, well, basically, we did another one at Oval Space. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like we were saying, like most of what we do is private hire now. So we have a really lovely relationship with Oval Space, and we're probably going to continue to do like one or two really big extravaganzas a year. Mm-hmm. And we just did one in November for Calm, which is a campaign against living miserably, which is a mental health charity that specifically helps men. And we collaborated with Black Axe Mangal, Taste Cadets, and then we had like an incredible lineup. We had Moon Comedy, Tanya Moore, Jamali Maddox, and then an amazing after party with just like wall to wall badass.
That's crazy.
And that kind of like the reason that we've gone a lot, like we always wanted to work with different charities anyway, because I think that like as much as you're doing something for someone else, I feel like it enriches your life as well, like it makes you feel good. But like on the business side of it, you don't make a lot of money off ticketed events, so like financially that wasn't really like gonna sustain us. And then we thought, okay, we're doing private hire, but these charity events,
it's
if we can get
exposure,
amazing exposure, like, you know, we get to work with people that like we wouldn't normally work with. But also like it means that everyone's working for free, and like we had amazing, like all of our produce was donated this time, which was like incredible. So like all of that profit adds up, and then that can go to charity, and that's all profit that you wouldn't make if you're doing it as like a normal ticketed event.
So it's like an amazing thing to do, but also like completely selfish on our half, because we're like we get to collaborate with all these people, but it's important to give back. And I think, you know, more and more, like when you go onto Facebook, people are like, for my birthday this year, don't get me a present, you know, donate to this or whatever. Like, it's very of this moment, isn't it? And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's a great thing. Day 4, discovering our strengths. That's going to be the chapter of my life.
Perfect title.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different for me and Rhiannon, but we both sort of organically, like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like, gravitated towards the two different prongs of what Mam Sham is.
Yeah, we both organically gravitated towards different roles in Mam Sham. Both, you know, we're obviously working together on absolutely everything, but like Rhiannon is a bit more grub and I'm a bit more lols, and like she does a lot more on like the food side of things, whereas I'll do a bit more like design work and like the funnies. So I guess for me, like I like I said before, I was always hosting our events, and I started going to this event called Special Guest, which everyone should go to, where you can talk about whatever you want to for a minute.
Yeah.
So people talk about all sorts of things. It's really interesting and amazing. And I started going up and telling these stories of things that had happened to me, like these funny stories. So like the time I was accidentally a foot model, the time that I thought I was pregnant but I was just fat, like the time that I hooked up with a guy at a wedding and stayed with like the groom and bride's parents. It was very weird. The time I accidentally went for an asthma test but I thought it was a smear test, so I got naked. It's that's it basically.
We need to have like a separate episode, a special episode to this.
Yeah, anecdotes by Maria.
Yeah.
So I started doing that, and then people were like, oh, you know, you're quite funny. And I was like, no, this is just my life. But then because I've been working with so many comedians and making friends with them, they were like, my friend Ishan Akbar, who's a sick comedian, was like, I want to actually help you develop this into a set. So for the recent Mamcham we did in November, when I was hosting it, I took the opportunity to do like a little bit of like comedy in between. So was that
nerve-wracking?
Do you know what? No, it wasn't.
Really?
She's so natural on stage. Like, it's intimidating.
Shut up. No. I don't get nervous. I spent so much of my childhood being nervous and shy that now I'm just like, look at me, everyone. I'm like absolutely thirsty for it. But I loved it, and I had so much fun, and like it's definitely something that I want to continue to do and pursue. So I guess for me, like doing some funnies professionally was pretty iconic.
And now you're running with it.
I am. We'll see where it goes. I'm gonna need to top up on my embarrassing stories, but I mean, it's
we'll go out tonight.
Honestly, it's actually relentless. I just want to have a normal
go have a couple tequila shots and see what happens.
So I ended up in Guildford.
And then for me, it was like I kind of became quite obsessed with food. I feel like I'm a fairly like,
I think we can all relate to that.
But I feel like I'm a fairly obsessive person. Like I think if I get an idea in my head, I'm like, I cannot stop thinking about it, and I have to follow it through. And like that's why I ended up in the art world. So I worked in galleries for 3 years, and that was after doing like a history of art degree and like all that stuff.
She's so clever.
No.
Like the little dropout of it.
But it was like, I don't know, like I was obsessed with like the art world and becoming an artist, like becoming a curator or whatever. But this gallery was actually underneath a restaurant, and I started to become more obsessed with what was going on upstairs. Started going to all the briefings with all the chefs and like, you know, asking
what, just like saying, can I just put
genuinely like
the you girl, can't say no to
the
that
girl
face.
From the
no.
gallery the girl from the gallery, I'll just go up and hang out with all the chefs, like have breakfast with them and just like, you know, quiz them on like all the different dishes, all the different ingredients, why do you cook that at that temperature, like how do you get the perfect whatever. And I also had a boss that was quite food obsessed, and we used to go out for meetings, quotation marks, and just go for really like amazing meals.
Oh, really?
For like, I'd have to go back to work and I'd be at work till 9, like filling in. But we just like, I don't know, just became quite into it.
So you were self-taught?
Well, I started like, I asked a load of different friends that worked in restaurants if I could just come and do like a shift in the kitchen. So I started just like bouncing around doing different shifts in places. And I just became, I was just like, this is so much fun. And actually like, it just started to completely dominate everything that I was doing, and I was like, god damn, like. And then I ended up being a waitress just because I wanted to work in the restaurant. And one thing that is so annoying when you're a waitress is the people that ask you, what else are you doing? My god. And you're like, do you know what,
I'm serving your food,
like,
and I'm about to get my
bill. What are you talking about? And they're all like, oh, like, are you studying? It's like, no, I'm in hospitality and I absolutely love it. So like, piss off. So it was just kind of like that obsession. And then now we just go out for meals constantly.
Food's always been such a big part of our lives. Like,
definitely,
it's what we spend the most amount of money on. Like, it's, and Rihanna's an iconic cook. I'm like, she's like, oh, shall I come over to yours for this like meeting? And I'm like, no, I'll come to yours. What have you got in the fridge?
So if you was to cook us like a day of meals, like breakfast, lunch and dinner, what would it be?
Oh god, on the spot. Maybe for a start, like for breakfast, I made this recently, like I could do like a potato fall, which is like a little potato cake thing.
Fried eggs,
bacon, maybe like a mango ketchup could be a thing. Maybe
mango
some
ketchup's a thing.
Yeah. I've made it before. It's actually really super easy.
I'm actually salivating.
Yeah,
that's the thing that happens to me, right? Is that every single person that can actually cook says, oh, it's actually really easy, but no, it's not in my world. Like, it's not.
You've just got to try it. Like,
I've had scrambled eggs on toast for like 5 times in the past week.
I bet you only have the egg white as well. Then nothing is worth
it. I will only ever have the egg like yolk. Give me that richness. I don't know, we're always like experimenting with different things. I think like we eat so many different cuisines. Like we eat a lot of like Szechuan food. Mm. Szechuan, like Chinese.
Right.
And Thai. Lots of Thai.
But then like, you know, I absolutely love like pie mash and liquor. Do you know what I mean?
Like, there we go.
So it's like there's that, we do cover the spectrum.
But Rhiannon says pie and mash, you're thinking like, you know, a good old pie and mash. Yeah. Rhiannon's like literally like a slow cooked pie. I'm like there with my bag and some mash.
I am like my biggest critic, my own biggest critic as well. Yeah, so it's that constant.
It's
like
quite sick though. So she's like, oh, I don't know how good that pie turned out. I'm like, oh, you should probably just try again. This Thursday, I'm there. But yeah, Rhiannon's an amazing chef.
Oh,
like,
stop.
You are, girl.
I just really enjoy it. I've become obsessed with gyoza at the moment. Yeah. That's my new thing. Some apple pie gyoza on the weekend.
It really pisses me off actually when I see photos of Rhiannon making food, so I'm like, actually, why have you not invited me? Yeah. And she's like, I'm eating with my boyfriend tonight. I'm like,
Maria's just at the window like, hello, I'm just passing through.
Oh, you got food, alright.
See the steam coming out the window. So
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So day 5 on the Everyday Hustle is 5 years into the future where you see yourselves going, all right? So like the end goal or where you see Michelle going to be in like 5 years' time. So what is that for you girls?
Penthouse suite. Yeah. Top of the building.
Everything glass.
Everything
glass. Mm-hmm. Like, I want no
people
technology.
People are afraid to look at us because we're so powerful. No, absolutely.
We'll be nude.
we'll
be nude, but they can't look at us.
No. And if they
but
do,
we'll be stunning. Yeah, exactly. We have so many wild dreams. Like, this is the thing. Mine and Maria's imagination is like, it's too much sometimes. It's like, we can go down like a really mad route.
Sometimes it gets quite sinister.
It can go
pretty bad. Pretty perverted.
And there's usually nudity and just extravagance, really.
Yeah, I guess in 5 years' time, we want to continue like the frequent female focus of just like being able to collaborate with different chefs, different comedians. That's like amazing. And then obviously we've just been signed.
Amazing.
Studio 71.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So yeah, we're doing more stuff as like a duo. So we've like been pitching a little like filmy idea. So I mean, oh God, we just want to be like sent around the world to like indulge in food and comedy.
Yeah, basically.
And be able to make a living off it.
Sounds like an amazing life.
I want to eat and laugh. I want to be next. Like, if you see us in 5 years' time, we're going to have like so many wrinkles from laughing and be so fat.
It's going to be
But we're going to be so happy.
That's the thing. Yeah, and I think that like also it would be amazing to kind of change what's happening on the comedy scene a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like absolutely. Keep on having these conversations and keep busting the balls of those promoters and see if like there is a way that we can, you know, make places more diverse. Mm. I think that it would be good, yeah, like not even to campaign, but like I want to start sending some mean emails and just like
straight
telling people
up.
Yeah, because
why
like
not?
Rhiannon's the troll.
Yeah. I'm actually a troll. No,
send them a dead pigeon in the post.
Yeah, exactly. Already done that. Yeah. I mean,
oh, we really want a studio as well.
I mean,
if there's anyone who's listening, that wants to have a studio. Yeah. Rhiannon can cook really nice goyza, and I might be able to make you laugh.
Yeah, it's a perfect combo, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that just pursuing what we're doing. Yeah. I mean, there's so many dreams, like so many different ideas. Like we even think about having like a Mam Sham hotel one day.
We would call it the Sham Inn.
And it'd be the best food, like every night, amazing performers. Like the rooms would be like obviously mad. Like
we were thinking like circular beds.
Need to do it, man.
Circular
funding.
Beds.
What?
Mirrors on the ceiling. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds incredible.
It's gonna be good.
So for everybody listening in, if you had to give them three like summarized top line tips of how they can, what will motivate them on their journey or maybe help them in their direction, what would it be?
I think one thing would be to like know what you're doing and be so sure of it. So like be excited about that thing that you're pursuing, because I think that like excitement and like adrenaline is something that really drives us. Like I mean, even
so true,
like when we need to get creative and we've got a block, we'll do like conceptual dance and like that will literally like just to like get that like pump happening. And then like
Rihanna's
we'll just
well good at it though, like really? It's it's actually quite shocking, like I'll
practicing on the sly.
Like every morning, like do my little routine. Building up that excitement. And I think that like once you've got that kind of bubbling, then like the ideas just start flowing, and then you're like, it doesn't matter if you've got 100 ideas and two of them are good, like you've still got those two good ideas at the end of it.
So
like, that's pretty good. That's more than a lot of people have.
We have so many ideas.
And number two,
I guess having like, I mean, like, you know, we're obviously best friends, so we're each other's cheerleaders, but having some sort of network, whether that's, you know, an event that you go to or your friends, your family, whatever,
people that can positively
people. And like, you know, everyone wants to be a critic, that's cool, and there will be people who are gonna like analyze what you're doing and say, but is this gonna work, is that gonna work. Surround yourself with people who are also gonna be like, actually you're sick and I believe in you, and this is, you know, you can make it happen.
And number three,
number three, definitely being shameless. Hand out those business cards, honey.
And not be scared to like reach out to those people that you want to collaborate with.
Totally.
Because I think like a lot with chefs is they're so excited to like work with us because they get to do something that is completely out of their comfort zone. And with comedians, like quite often we get them to write a completely new set and they're like really, really up for that. They're like excited by the challenge.
Exactly. And then even like if there are brands that you want to work with, like honestly, I've been at like, you know, the pub before, and I've literally like, I've been mid conversation with someone and then I've overheard someone saying, I don't know, that they work for a cool brand. And I'm like, one moment. I'm like, I'm so sorry, I couldn't help but overhear.
Or even like, you know, we ended up working with Taste Cadets because Maria reached out for them on Instagram.
That's crazy. Like, there's so many different ways nowadays,
isn't there? Slide in those DMs.
Do it.
Reach out.
And also like collaborating with people that you don't even like, that you don't think specifically apply to what you're doing. So like we've done, like obviously we do food and comedy events, but we've done some insane photo shoots, and I say insane because like they're completely bonkers. Like we've done kind of
we did a stock imagery,
one. We've done one where literally I've got a saddle on and Maria sat on my back as a cowgirl. We've done like I feel like I'm always an animal. Like I was gonna say the double denim one, like I'm like the horse drawing the cart with Maria like a princess on the back. Like, but it's just like, that's a really fun day to just like get creative.
I bet it is.
And then like that, and then that photographer like helps us
the
out.
The photos are exclusive
stuff
to you, Porn.
Exactly. All right, girls. Well, thank you so much
for sharing the Everyday Hustles.
Thank you so
How
much.
Can the people follow you?
Just honestly, just look for two striking girls. No fans. Just paparazzi. So our website is www.mamsham.com.
And our Insta is mam_sham_.
Is our Twitter as well. And that's Mam Sham, M-A-M.
Like, yes, ma'am.
Not Man Sham. Because people always like Man Sham. And I was like, no, we're
it's
not,
like, we're
not being ironic.
Come on.
Name right, peeps.
So,
Sham
is the shambles, but you know, we're muddling through.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that is it. That has been the final episode of the series. Series one of the Everyday Hustle Show. You can find us at Everyday Hustle Show on Instagram and at ED Hustle Show on Twitter for all those important news and updates. Thank you so much for joining us. Do not forget to leave us a review wherever you're listening to this, and enjoy the festive season. We will see you again in the new year. This has been a Studio 71 production. Thanks for listening. Until next time, goodbye.